And welcome to the Black House, Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. You're in the studio today with Eddie, Leah and Craig. How's everyone doing? Craig's paying for his parking, so Leah, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I feel like I'm still recovering.
Yeah, well, that's what we wanted to do for this particular show this week, was we wanted to just do a bit of a review of Newtown Festival. And like, obviously the Afro Urban Soundstage had its first of hopefully of many it wasn't even like a session or party, but it was like, you know, we had the Afro Urban Soundstage at Newtown Festival. When you think you're like tired, like I feel like I got home and I kind of just vegetabled out the rest of the evening. And I was like, I was in that one of it, you know, when you can feel like, am I going to get sick or not? Because I think I'd just been running around,
you've got such a sensitive constitution too. You do.
And then I had to be up at 9 a.m. I had to be at uni at 9 a.m. on the Monday, so I couldn't sleep in. And then
I'm going to turn this off.
Since the second
week in a row.
Some things never change.
Yeah. Who are you messaging that's so important?
I'm not. It's like,
no,
I'm
phones at the table.
Everything across. I've got to do a comment on a post I saw, and I've got to, like, you know, 15 jobs, Eddie. Always 15 jobs, all at the same time.
But yeah, as I was saying, it's like I slept in on Tuesday. Like Tuesday, I think I got like 9.5, 10 hours sleep, sort of thing, which was just
literally. You can actually do that?
It's very rare. They're very, very rare.
You know, Wednesday. Right, because you know that my son was... I got the message during the festival that he had a flight out.
Oh, so this is, for context, this is your son Solo has been in Dubai.
Been in Dubai. I'm making him something at the moment.
And then you got the message that he was getting out of Dubai during the festival.
And then it wasn't so much that he's leaving. It's that, will they be lobbying? Will the missile trackers fail when the plane is taking off the runway?
Mm.
And this is between the second bombing.
Yeah.
And I'm of the airport, and I'm just like, you know, this whole thing where your brain is multitasking.
Yeah.
But landed safely where he wanted to be. For personal reasons, I'm not going to disclose. I know he's got a lot of fans. But the thing is that it was incredibly... I was trying to look calm, and people were saying, you look really calm. And I'm like,
Well, so, well, what else? What
I
else?
Wasn't.
What
I
else?
Wasn't.
But obviously, is that sort of thing? I thought, you're not calm, but what can you do?
What can you do?
Yeah.
It's already happening. It's on the way. And then on Wednesday, my little friend suggested that we go for a drive to Masterton to help somebody move. And then we ended up at the back of Beyond, and basically it's not even on the map.
Wow.
You know,
and I'm like, what is going on? Where are we?
When you're going to such a place, we are always going to use the nearest town.
You know what they do?
It's a South African thing.
It's a South African thing.
It's a South African thing where everyone says, I've always said to people who come from Limpopo, a province in the north of South Africa, everyone from there says, I'm from Polokwane. Polokwane is the provincial capital of that place.
So anything is just down the road from there.
Everything is, I'm from Polokwane. So I ended up asking people, I said, no. Not everyone can be from there, because Polokwane cannot have a population of however million people that I always meet.
Yeah.
Where exactly are you from? And I'm like, no, if you just drive out like maybe like 120 Ks, I'm like, so you're not from there? Polokwane is just the nearest town. Where are you
from? This was, like, honestly, the dude said, it's just down the road.
Yeah, it is.
2.5 hours later.
Just down the road. Just like how we described it.
It was
as well.
So far that the road ran out of road. It was just...
No, gravel.
Gravel. And I'm like, old man is not peopling anymore. But he has given up on people.
But that's how people in the olden days used to describe things. They'll just say, no, you just drive straight.
Yeah.
It's not too far. Just keep going.
And I knew what was happening at that point, because they do the same thing in Perth.
Like when I lived in the States, like it was a sort of thing of like, you know, like someone driving 100K there and back was like a regular commute. I was like, it's just a pretty easy commute.
Oh, yeah,
that's the short distance.
I'm telling you.
It's very regular.
I was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre country. That was the vibe I was getting. So, and 12 hours later, so I'm just like, we just did a festival. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be in and out, 20-minute adventure.
In and out, a bit of an adventure to a new part of the country I'd never seen before. No. But anyway, yeah, I've got a lot of things I thought about.
Newtown Festival.
About the Newtown Festival, yeah.
All right, so let's go. I'll kick it off with you. What's highlights?
Oh, look. The main thing I was focusing on as stage director was time.
Mm-hmm.
It was also design.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, okay, what's going on here? I came up on the flags. The flags went and did its own thing. But I know what to do next time to make that.
So that's not a highlight.
These are the things that I was focusing on. No. But the highlights, I think the highlight, for artists, actually there were... Should I say that?
Yeah. No, I think it's right, because all our artists were amazing.
They were all amazing. But
obviously, there's always going to be standouts.
They
there's
were
always
all
gonna
amazing.
Be...
I'll tell you, Tuseka.
Yeah.
Tuseka, definitely. And you and Iman, right at the end, when you did that power trony set, and I'm just like, yes, and everybody just getting up and whining, and it was great.
I think I know why I decided to try and take a nap before your set. Did you notice what happened during your last set?
No, I was in the zone.
Oh, okay, because there was one person who just kept on jumping up and about there, and that was me. I've never done those dance moves before. I've never seen myself doing such a thing.
I hope somebody out there got you and Iman going left.
Yeah, right.
That was crazy.
Because I didn't
crazy.
Have my phone that at that crazy. Point, and I got it afterwards.
Yeah, my girlfriend got that, which was great.
She needs to tag the Black House. We need to show that. That was so cool. And it was like, I don't know, it just woke everybody up. And I'm sure if anybody was going to the after parties, that would have been the... Get onto it.
Well, I think it's one of those ones, like, I feel like the structure for the day, I think we kind of broadly called it was trying to kind of, like, we kind of flow, just like, let's try and keep, we had some good peaks and then peaks and troughs, troughs not as a bad thing, but just to sort of, you know, the morning was quite chill, the morning, like, we kind of built up, and then there was Olmeca Supreme, and that was the kind of, like, big kind of showcase in the morning, right?
I loved Olmeca Supreme.
And then too. It kind of, you know, then it was kind of, you know, a bit more chill, and then I think Tuseka was kind of, kind of a peak, but also more like it was still hit that kind of chill vibe. And then we got into obviously TK Paradza. And then just at the end, but I was just like, well, you know, we could just be like, okay, we're going to chill it all. We're going to end it out. We're going to chill it all down. I was like, no, up.
We're just going to keep going up.
Yeah.
And I just had a great time. I mean, even though I was jumping around on one leg for a lot of it was... I think everybody brought their A game, to be honest with you.
Oh, definitely.
Everybody brought their A game. Yeah. And I love the way that we had to problem shoot with the headset thing.
Oh, troubleshoot! Yeah,
troubleshoot, like rebuffering and then rebuffering and then rebuffering again. And in the end, everybody was there. Everybody was on. But I'm not a sound person. You're the sound person.
It's the nature of live shows. I mean, you won't get everything right the first time. If you get something, I always say to guys when we're setting up, if you find something too easy. At any given point, something's about to go wrong.
Mm.
And it's either you, like literally when you're cabling, at times you could find yourself running the cable nice and easy, then you realize, oh damn, it was supposed to go underneath this side. Oh. A simple thing such as that. So, no fault of the sound guys or anything.
No.
They did really, really well because live shows, starting off, the first act is always going to have problems. Always, because they are literally starting off the day and probably cold ears, cold hands, and whatever's happening because the weather wasn't really friendly that day.
No.
So you might find that you were listening to something in the morning that has tuned you to listen to your music in a different way. Mm. And then you might think, okay, there's a problem here, there's a problem there. Of course, then also the communication between artist and sound guy, there's so many artists coming on, and the sound guy has to communicate with all these different personalities. In one day, then you have someone who comes on with their computer and their laptop deciding, nah, I'm not going to work today. And then from there on, it just seems like, whoa, it's a mess. But it's just about how you get back up again from that incident. Yeah. But we really had a good one. Imani didn't show that there was a problem while she was performing.
That's what I... Yeah,
like
exactly.
Literally, she flowed into all her songs, and then I was so sad that she ran out of time because she still had like one more song.
Unfortunately, we had run out of time.
It was one of the ones of like, to be fair, I feel like half an hour behind schedule was actually pretty solid. I was thinking, it was like, okay. And then by the end of it, we actually caught up.
Just rebuffered again. So I think that was brilliant.
It's the DJs that make it flow. If you look at how it flowed, I think we caught up during Cole's set. Because after Cole's,
what was it when you guys?
So we kind of we kind of got 5-10 minutes back through the DJs sets. I think Cole's set was one part where we did manage to catch up a bit.
Because the next artist actually even set up whilst Cole was playing.
Yeah.
That was dope, and everything just literally flowed. There was, I think, throughout the show, throughout the festival, we only had like maybe less than 5 minutes of quote unquote dead air, as we'll call it on radio.
Yeah, it would have been less than 5 minutes.
So that was actually really good compared to last year, where we had so much time in between. Yeah.
And I think it was
for the setups, because that's why we got the tent closer, because the green room was too far away.
Yeah.
And I'm
the tent was slightly too close to the speakers.
Very
close.
But it was just space, and I think, you know, and I'm thinking of layout and design, and if we do another one, if you guys do another one, that is really important for, say, the interviews, or for that we are a bit further away, and that we have let the necessary people know that we need this here because we want to be doing this there. Yeah.
And I think that was something that I kind of spoke to, I think it was Dave was saying, and then I think I was talking to Tendekai as well, and I think probably, and it was like probably a good thing for the DJs is probably having one controller set up the whole time sort of thing. And I think probably even then, like next year, what I'd probably ask is like they had the table there for us. It's like, can you put a shelf, like another shelf in there, just that literally I can move, like if it was me or whoever else, someone can move the main mixer under there and it can sit there, and then at least it's not, doesn't have to be dismantled, at least it can stay set up.
But these are the things that you know in hindsight, right? When you look, I definitely, another thing I was thinking about in considering where it was and the upward trajectory of that street and the northerly that was happening, I don't know about parachute. I don't know about a parachute cover. I'm thinking maybe we needed something more stable that wouldn't blow away.
The stage wanted to fly away that day.
I was watching at one point.
It was Joseph Pod, and then who else was that? It was when, was it during Tendekai's one? Or maybe it was during KB. It was during KB's set.
During KB's set, yeah. I remember at some point I was on stage. I was like, I just caught some flights recently, but nah, not this nature.
I think that street is not as covered and not as sheltered as Rutherford, and that perhaps not a parachute.
But I think it was one of those ones of, it was just one of those really hard to predict ones where, like, obviously the day before had been like abs had been like gorgeous. Like,
yeah, it was hot. And the weather, I was watching the weather all week. It changed about 5 times.
Yeah,
for Sunday. So that's Wellington, right?
Wellington's never safe for anything, really. No. If you do it outdoors.
But I think, like, if you're going to move forward, you'd want something that's not a parachute.
Those take long to set up, man. Those will take long to set up.
Well, that's what the stage people do. That's their job.
It's not like for days.
They get paid for it.
I think going back to highlights, I think the highlight for me sort of thing was just the fact that just the range of music that we heard sort of thing. I feel like Olmeca Supreme was like hip hop, but it was punk, it was kind of there was such a vibe to it sort of thing, and then like Sasha with her like sampler sort of thing. It's just that, and it just kind of felt really impromptu and kind of real, like, and I feel like obviously we had a lot of Afropop, we had a lot of Afrobeats and stuff as well, but then we had like the kind of classic Alma Piano Afrobeats artists. obviously soca, throwing a bit of dancehall and reggae and that sort of thing as well. But we had all that, you know, the classic kind of African genre or black genre sort of thing. But then it was people just, there was also just random shit. And I think that's what I like. And I think I like just being like, cool, like, the denominator here isn't, we're not trying to be like, if you come to the stage, you're not going to expect, like, you know, African drumming sort of thing. Mm. If we wanted that, we could obviously do that. But it's the sort of, but it's that sort of thing. I've been like, yeah, like, I'm just like giving people, I just think it was really amazing. I just really felt good being able to be like, cool, you're a black artist in Wellington. Cool.
Yeah.
Come on, do this. Yeah. Do your thing.
You literally did not need to leave the Afro-urban stage. You did not, you had no reason to leave. The only reason was to get a coffee.
Mm.
That's why I left, like, at any point during the day.
Apparently during that rain, that really rainy patch in the morning sort of thing, one of my mates, he'd come down from Auckland. He's working up there at the moment, but he came down from Auckland, and he was like, had obviously been wandering around, and he was like, you guys are the only stage where people are staying in one plot place during the rain. Like, you were the only
I actually, noticed that. At some point, I was under the tent, and I'm looking, I'm like, why aren't you guys going? We want you here, but why aren't you going?
Find some shelter.
Like, find shelter or something. Rain, yeah. And then I think that's what also inspired me to actually just, no, I'm not talking about my dance career. Just start
dancing,
you know,
like, in the rain. Were you dancing?
I was. I think
I was taking everything in, but it's kind of there. It's like I've got to go back and remember it. But I see you dancing in the rain?
I don't know. Like, I was just one with the speakers. Yeah. I just kept dancing, jumping, and kicking something. I was doing something.
It's just Craig just spinning in the rain.
It was honestly amazing to see people engage with the artists like that, because if there's one thing that I find a blessing as an artist is to play in a setup where it's raining and people actually stay to watch me. I had that happen in December and I was like, what? Move. Get some covering or something else. I'll still carry on playing. It's as if they have, you know when a child is just waiting for you to feed them or something.
Mm.
That's exactly how the crowd was. Everyone was just standing, just waiting.
Mm.
And even when they were not dancing, they were just so mesmerized. I'm like, guys, it's raining.
But it was cool though, like, and that was something that I actually, I think I was talking to Tendakai, like, in the tent, and I was like, if we are part of the black diaspora, we can play whatever we want.
Yeah.
You know, we can be whatever we want.
Well, it's interesting, like, I feel like I spoke to a couple of people that was like, some guy came along in the morning, I got him on Instagram, I said I'm going to try and get him on the show. But him and his band were playing elsewhere at Newtown Festival. He was like, I didn't even realize this was happening. And he was like, I'd love to do something like this. And I was like, cool, like, let's get you into into the network. Obviously bring your band, come chat to us, sort of thing. But also, is that sort of thing of like, I think
only chat to us, play for us. There's some
space. Yeah. But I think that was the thing. That's what I really liked was cool. I just spoke to a couple of people who just kind of weren't aware of us or hadn't kind of come across us, but, you know, were creatives, and they were like, I'd love to do this sort of stuff. And yeah, like, I think it, you know, for the future sort of thing, it does give me that sort of thing of being like, cool, like, we could come back next year with almost an entirely different lineup. Like, that's what I think is amazing. I think so. Like, we could.
And one thing that we seem to be forgetting to highlight is the fact that this year we actually had bands on stage.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was quite flawless.
And I loved the bands.
Yeah, the bands are actually awesome. Really,
and you did that, like, and I'm not going to take any, like, we've got an Excel spreadsheet, but during that, talking to the artists and setting up the run sheet and doing all this, that was entirely
perfectly
Eddie.
Curated.
Yeah.
Perfectly curated.
I needed time out.
Perfectly curated, man, because another thing, you know, you I understand DJs, yes, it's nice to watch DJs. There's so much that DJs can do, and DJs will make you dance, different types of music, I'm a piano, and all the like. But the versatility, getting different types of DJs, different types of music programmers, those who will come in and do the analog stuff on stage, those who will come in and do the MPC 3000s. I mean,
yeah.
When you say analog, you mean records?
Analog being anything that you can literally touch and fiddle around with knobs wise in terms of your instruments and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Anything that's not digital, really.
Right.
And you have people like Sasha coming on. What I loved was her post when she said, "Come watch me press buttons."
Press buttons.
And literally, we watched her press buttons to great effect. I was literally watching her until she finished. I was mesmerized by her set.
Yeah.
Because no one would think of a set where you just have a person who has a production tool there and a bass guitarist. Because it's just like, that's a weird combination.
Mm.
But the synergy that they had between them, it was so amazing. And then you have the DJs that will come on, changing controllers here and there, but still things flowed. That was nice to bring that on from last year. But for me, the highlight.
But you're also a DJ too.
Yeah, I'm a musician all around, but the bands.
Yeah.
The bands for me really, really, yeah. I expected the bands, yes, but I can't.
It was like my mum came up, because my mum's never seen me DJ before. So
which is crazy. So I can't believe that she's almost like never
eight,
seen you DJ.
8 years now, almost 10 years. Yeah. But I think it's funny, she was like obviously watching Omeka Supreme set up, and then she saw Armin with this helmet. And she was just like, and I think it was that sort of, like, she just kind of was like, it was that sort of thing, was that, I also think that's what I like, it's just the level of like little surreal sort of moments that kind of came up throughout.
Yeah.
It's funny because when Armin came with that helmet, when he came off stage, I'm looking for the helmet. It seemed like two totally different people.
Yeah.
Where's that helmet? And I was literally trying to find it, but I guess that's what brings...
I know, like, right at the end when we were packing everything up, the gazebo flying away, wind again. Yeah, that was bound to happen.
Yeah.
I was watching that build up. But the other cool thing was right at the end, the old CEO of Newtown Fest came down, and he'd already heard that we had a really good stage.
Mm.
And he was talking about doing another stage in 2027 before anybody else was. And I'm like, one job only, please. You know? But no, it came together. And everybody that, the amount of work that went in beforehand, right? Yeah. The lead up, the funding applications, the working, the talking, the ideas. And then when you're there, and because my mind is not just watching the artist, it's also watching the layout. Yeah. I'm thinking, oh, this would have been better, or that would have been better, or, you know. And so I've got a whole lot of those in my head.
Because my sort of thing, and I think if we were to do this next year, like, I think I'd really like to push for the, like, to get more vendors in the space sort of thing. Like, I think that was, like, the Colombians rapping. Like,
they did well.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think that was the sort of, I think that to me would, is the sort of, the missing piece, just to kind of really bring the whole thing, like, you know, each iteration we developed, like, the first year was just the DJs essentially, and obviously Dave and Michelle had their food truck there sort of thing, but it was just the DJs. And then we kind of iterated, and this iteration is like, cool, we've got the music, we've got the kind of scene aspect of it locked in, because we've got DJs, we've got now, like, live artists, we've got bands, we've got that kind of live aspect to it as well. And just the next step then is like, cool, the next iteration just needs the vendors, like, it needs to be, whether it's, and I know there's a few people, like, I think it probably is just a case of being like, trying to encourage, if you know people in the community who,
I think it's the whole thing of reaching out to them individually,
whether it's
not just sending out a mass email, because there's a lot going on, and from August all the way up till December, and then coming back in January, and it's like there's a lot of moving parts, all at the same time. And I think that getting more people who want to be involved with that part, I think that's a good thing, because it spreads the load a little bit.
Who was it that did the catering for that ACCW AGM we went to last year?
Because
they had Fufu and all that sort of thing. They had like
that what?
I think it was Fred.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
They were like, but it was like proper, like,
African stuff.
Yeah, and I just feel like I haven't seen. Like, I know obviously the Ethiopians also, I thought I saw an Ethiopian place rapping as well, but like, is that sort of stuff, I'm just like, I feel like it's that, let's try and connect them with those people who, again, maybe are on a small side of the catering side of things, or more kind of, but it's that sort of thing of like, hey, cool, here's one. If you can, you can get this together, you can do like a good 8 or 5 hours or 8 hours, whatever sort of thing.
Because we decided on focusing on the stage and letting Newtown Fest deal with the vendors, so we were just sending them there. But I'm wondering if there were vendors in other parts that didn't know.
Yeah.
That they could have chosen to be next to us, but the Colombians were the first ones to get back, like straight away. And so so amazing. And the last time I seen her was back in, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So she was really happy to be included.
Well, there was like a Wellington, market, like a little food market, kind of, you know, where the Southern Cross Hotel is sort of thing, that restaurant there. There's like kind of car lot sort of thing, and they turn like every Friday, it seems to be, it's just like an international food market sort of thing. And there was a Moroccan girl who had a food stall down there that went a few weeks ago sort of thing, and I was like, amazing food.
Yeah.
And there's that sort of stuff. I'm just like, cool, like, let's, and I think it's also good, and I think also just to try and like pull those people into that, into the orbit sort of thing. And then it's that kind of one of like, cool, like, you know, one of those ones, like you talk about dead air, that sort of, those are the moments where people go, oh, like, I'll go get something to eat. And then they keep moving sort of thing. Versus like being like, actually, if we can get some more food and stuff in the area, then it's like, cool, you kind of hopefully retain, you know, that helps retain people coming in and out sort of thing.
I mean, I would love to be eating a goosey there.
I wanted to chat to you anyway about earpieces, because you're a sound person. I've never seen anybody use earpieces on a stage that size. I've only seen people use foldbacks. Do you think that foldbacks, like, do we need earpieces?
Yeah, absolutely. Reason being, it cuts out the complexity of having two monitors.
Mm.
And a bass guitarist would say that, I want myself in the monitor, thereby overloading the monitor. So if he wants himself, if he wants anything loud, he has it in his earpiece.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can have a customized mix in your earpiece.
Right.
So what you like to hear is not what I want to hear. Now imagine if we're sharing a monitor. So the world is moving away again.
I know. I'm going to tell you.
The world is moving away from 10, 15 stage monitors to earpieces, because it's easier to manage artists that way. It's easier for you to have a feel of what you want that way. Tricky for festivals, because I'm coming in with my artist. I've got a 5-10 piece band.
Right.
We all want a different mix.
Yeah.
And we have a monitor engineer who will mix the monitors in our ears and everything.
Yeah.
Then once we get off stage, he literally has 3 to 5 minutes to set up for his band that will come in with another 10 people who want a different mix from what we got.
Right.
And even if you look at pianists or even DJs themselves, how he DJs, how I DJ, how he prefers his monitor and how I prefer my monitor would be different. So you find he might want a louder monitor.
So
and then when I get on,
I
want to reduce the monitor, or I want it to face a certain way. Yeah.
Because I'd seen earpieces on massive stages, you know, for like big events, but I'd never seen it on small, like, community festival stages before.
But I guess that probably is the flow of technology, right? When at that stage, it's like, it makes sense, it's most cost effective to be it in those kind of big scale things. But as it becomes, I guess, a more standardized practice, then I assume that probably brings the cost and then therefore the ability to use them to that kind of smaller scale as well.
Yeah.
If you look at all the artists that we also had there, for instance, TK Paraza, I was looking at his lap.
Was he using AM monitor?
I don't remember if he was.
I think he was.
But
and Duna did, and he threw it away. That's hilarious.
Yeah, because he wasn't getting what he wanted in there. So if you look at, I was looking at TK before he performed. He had his laptop on, and there were so many stems. Then I asked him, I'm like, how many stems do you have for what you're performing? So each song had about 70 elements.
Right. That's insane.
That's insane.
Now, I know what stems are.
So now imagine with those 70 elements, he had to mix and balance them out before on the previous day. So now someone will come on stage and have probably 20, 25 pre-recorded elements in their set. And if I don't hear that on your monitor that I don't know, that I'm just seeing for the first time today, I will have a problem in my performance because I'm used to hearing a certain thing that might cue me up for the next.
Right.
So the best thing is an in-ear monitor.
Yeah.
Okay. Then once you have that, you are more in control of what you're hearing, and provided you and the sound guy have enough time also to mix that in.
Yeah, and there was no sound checks.
The beauty of festivals.
Yeah, no sound checks. I was told inline sound checks only.
Well, I think that's what I enjoyed. Maybe this was just in the monitors, but obviously when Allmaker Supreme was setting up, like, I could hear their bassist behind me. Like, I don't know, again, it might have just been in my monitor that I could hear, but I could hear them essentially, you know, picking up the bass lines from what I was DJing. It was really fun. It was the thing. I was like, hang on a second. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's the nature of festivals. If you've got a DJ actually who's literally a segue to your performance, use the DJ's music to set up. Use the DJ's music to sort of balance your sound. You might not get exactly what you want, but you will have an idea of, okay, cool, this is how I'm sounding. By the time you start performing, then you'll have that big sound.
Yeah.
The big sound I'm talking about is exactly what TK had.
Yeah.
With what TK's
set was really good too.
Yeah. His sound was really, really big. Yeah. So now imagine if he had a live band on stage.
Yeah.
That for me was going to be one of the difficult ones to actually mix for a sound engineer, because he had so many elements into it. That sounded so, it was well put together.
Yeah.
So I hope it will be like that with an actual band when he hasn't, you know, done all these stems on the computer and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm just understandably put it off, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm a bit too. I mean, we did have a bit of a teaser last year, but it was nothing to the scale of what this was. Even though we were working with Newtown Fest, it was still a big scale.
Yeah,
yeah.
And sometimes, like, I had questions, but I wasn't sure what exactly the question was. You know what I mean? But now I think I've got a better idea.
I was, like, scrolling down on my program is like, cool, okay, this worked, this didn't, this and I think it was interesting. But something interesting I kind of found, I guess, as a DJ sort of thing, and I'm curious when it comes to festival stages, where, like, I kind of at the end of it, obviously it kind of then failed because in my that final set where Iman and I just kind of just jammed out sort of thing. Yeah. But I kind of also was just like, I've seen a lot of things online talking about, like, changes in crowds where it's because, and then people just watching DJs. And I was like, and I kind of, that's what I said at the beginning of that set, I was like, don't look at me. And seriously, I was like, don't look at me.
Yeah.
Just look around and look at each other and just enjoy this. Like, I'm boring. Like, I'm in the zone. I'm not someone to really,
like, study.
You're not going to have a great time watching me. Yeah.
Well,
you're going to have a bit.
In the end, we did.
But I felt that throughout the day. I was like, actually, like, just, you don't need to watch me. Yeah. You need, like, if you just focus on actually the space that we've created. Like, it's for me, it's like a desert DJ. I guess it's a bit like nightclubs. Like, I feel like, obviously, usually you're kind of positioned somewhere in a club, but no one's ever really watching you. Like, you've kind of got the dance floor in front of you, but it's that's the sort of what...
It also speaks to the position that you're actually in on the stage. Once you put someone on the side of the stage, like where you were placed, yes, you were in front, but you're, like, not really the focal point at that moment in time. As opposed to
having a separate complete stage, like, that was the original thing.
If you're in the center, literally you were center, dead center, then we'd expect you to throw your hair out and, you know,
shake your head.
No. I don't know. I just had the picture of you doing that last week. I was low key hoping you'd do that.
What about some tracks?
Yeah, I was gonna
Should we jump into something?
Yeah, what are we feeling?
I'm feeling New Orleans jazz. Jazz. That's just me.
Okay.
I don't know if that's you.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try some New Orleans jazz. I'm just literally going from the jazz playlist you've put on the top of the
I've been listening to a lot of it. Feel like funking you up.
Feel like funking it up. Here we go.
That one's a good one.
Is it going to play for me? No. There we go.
With no answers, cure for cancer, cure for AIDS. Make a nigga wanna stay on tour for days. Get back home, things are wrong. When I really it was bad all along. Before you left, ass up to a ball of power. Lost at 1,000 miles per hour. Hello ghetto, let your brain free. Believe that's always more.
straight to tone. Did you ever think of him rock a microphone like that? Dead boy, we still say freak. Big things happen every time we meet. Like a crack team, dying to geek. Outcast bumping up and down the street. Slam back, Cadillac, bye-bye, niggas beat. 75 MCs freestyle to the beat. Cause we get drunk, stay drunk at the club. Should've bought an ounce, but you caught the dub. Should've held back, but you throwed the punch. Want to meet you good, but you packed the lunch. No G to the U to the G for you. Got a son on the way by the name of Bamboo. Got a little baby girl, 4 year Jordan. Never turn my back on my kids for them. Should've hit it, with it. Rag top, before you re up, get a laptop. Make a bending for yourself, boy, set some goals. Make a fat dime out of dust and coal. Record number four, but we on the roll. Hold up, slow up, stop, control. Like Janet, planet, stake on the Estonia. Moving like floor, coming straight to Florida. Block all yours and block the quarters. Putting up my bell, cause the women's in order. Like a three-piece bitch, before I cut your daughter. Your kettle talk bell, then I hit the border. Pity pat rapper trying to get the vibe. I'm a microphone beam, trying to stay alive. When you come to ATL, boy, you bet not high. Cause another family gon' ride. Ha-ha!
Don't I look like somebody that just be bodying everything? gang, all they talking is great, but I don't be talking. I air it out, all the problems have gotten easy to bury. I'd rather drown them in Hendrix, I'd rather kiss on my Mary. I've been broke away longer than I've been rich, so until it levels out, I'ma take your mama to the Marriott and wear it out. Took me so long to get it, gonna spread it out. Let them know all about me when I'm dead and gone. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubba. Look at the cash, bubbling. One in the hand, one in the hand. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubba. Look at the cash, bubba. I'm in it all the fries you can give me. All the hot sauce, all the pie you can give me. Better be all or nothing, don't have me in the middle. You better be all you can, get high in a minute. Super fly for the Dumbos, plenty slides like a shuffle. Hit the cadence on my young bitch. Isaac Hayes, Billy Ocean. About the old hoe with the case then. Let my slippers at the function. It's hard to run the Gucci slides. She got that, you say you didn't have a husband. I'm a stud, no cuckoo. Jackie Chan, no travel. Can't clean it with the beans. Blood dripping from the cutthroat. No, Lord, not me. I can never be the one you want to stuff for. Money, money, that machine. Guns, bring the bell, I'm a stove. RIP the times that I was broke. I said life in 9-11, folks. Mad back, lick it clean. Bad places in it, I'm a local. Cooking up canard. Waiting for the antidote. Running out of time. Pictures dinner, dinner, penny, ho.
Don't be empty, Ma. I don't do that. In my prison, you know what I tell you? Get over here. He's gonna get this.
Stay up, fuck up.
One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubba. Look at the cash, bubbling. One in the hand, one in the hand. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubba. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubba. Look at the cash, bubbling.
Woo, that was Bubbling by Anderson .Paak, preceded by Bombs Over Baghdad by Outkast. We're just like, so we've just been off air. We've just been kind of like, yo, what, thinking ahead for next year sort of thing. But
yeah.
But it's obviously, I feel like Wellington, it's like, Wellington's in that street parade, kind of that street festival sort of phase of things.
Yeah.
So we've got Cuba Duba coming up in a few
weeks.
It's
festival month. This is just festival after festival after festival, and people creating their own. I was walking up Cuba Street and somebody was creating their own festival, walking up the street. They were just doing their own thing, having their mini festival, mobile. But, you know, like that's this month. And then it's dead for 7 months. So
winter.
So you got to make the most of it. But I'm really looking forward to young people jumping on board and helping you guys out with the heavy lifting. I'll still be around.
I've always asked myself something about Wellington. Like, you know, why isn't winter, you know, gigging a thing?
I think it is, but the weather just gets so bad that nobody wants to leave the couch. I think that's only it.
How do you mean sort of winter gigging, like?
You see how everyone seems out alive, like the little plants outside now. And
yeah, everyone wants because to we see only the sun. Get so much summer.
Yeah. But
we only get so much melanin and vitamin D.
I think what it is, it's, I think if you have somewhere that's like, so for example, like I'd say like Queenstown, for example,
okay,
would have a really good winter gigging scene because it's dry and cold.
All right.
Like I think that's the difference. I think that's the difference between somewhere that's dry and cold and somewhere that's here that's wet and cold in winter. So it's that sort of, so is that sort of thing. If it's dry and cold, like cool, you can still like, like, I think there's still that idea of, like, you know, and you'd go to a bar, or all of, like, Queenstown, like, bars will have big fireplaces up in winter sort of thing. So, like, versus here where I feel like you go out in winter, it's like, I guess it's...
You're just going to drink.
Yeah. You're going for the alcohol blanket.
You've got San Fran, you got Meow, you've got the new Meow. Yeah, exactly. And I've noticed they're quite busy right through the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the gig spots.
Yeah. But as far as festivals and outside things, that drops quite significantly.
That reminds me, Thundercat's coming.
Thundercat.
Whoa, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was
tickets
like,
are fucking expensive.
How
100,
much?
150. Mm. Which is...
Here, it's Wellington.
In Meow Nui.
It's Thundercat. It's worth
I'm going to go.
I'm going for that.
It's like a couple of days after my birthday. So it's my birthday present to myself.
Listen, James, trying to get us to give him a birthday present.
Yes.
Actually, speaking...
When is your birthday, by the way?
3rd of May, Taurus.
Yeah, month 17.
Something that I just found interesting to note, and it's a bit of a shift from Noontown Festival to Access Radio. I went to the Black Creatives, or I didn't went... I forgot that the Black, because the Black Creatives Aotearoa kind of mixer was on the Saturday before Noontown Festival.
Yeah.
So then obviously we were so busy, we were so working everything out that I just kind of completely slipped my mind. But my mum was here, my mum's favourite restaurant is Mother of Coffee. So then I was like, oh, let's go there for dinner. And then so kind of
a bit
awkwardly kind of stumbled in, and then Dionne was like, oh, you've made it, you're late. I was like, sorry, what's happening? Like, oh, you clicked going on the Facebook event. I was like, did I?
I was going to go, but...
I met someone who in the wider Access Radio network, there was a guy there who does like a soul and R&B show and funk show on Coast Access Radio.
Okay.
Ryan, I think it's Ryan Gatling, I want to say.
At the BCA thing?
Yeah. Okay. So he was, and I had a good chat with him, like he's an American guy sort of thing, but he was like, Dionne was like, okay, so make sure before he leaves, you go talk to Ryan over there.
Oh, nice.
Because he also does radio. So I had a good chat with him, and I was like, what station? I was like, oh, I'm on Coast Access Radio. And he gave the...
Where's Coast again?
That's the Kapiti Coast.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And I was like, oh, we're on Wellington Access Radio. It's like, we're part of the Access Radio sort of family.
Yeah.
But he records his show in his living room. Yeah. I was like, damn. Like,
well, so does KB.
KB does,
I don't know if it's in his living room. Mm. It looks like a disco shop. I don't know.
So do I.
Have you got a disco shop?
Not a disco shop.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of people are doing shows from their living rooms now because... We're not so fussy anymore about the space that you have in the house, the echoes, and trying to get the dead sort of cured room.
You got like, and I guess it's nice, you feel like you got background noise, like, it's a lived space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to make it feel like you're human.
So are you podcasting or just recording?
I do my live shows from there.
Yeah.
For Tswane FM.
Tswane FM.
Because I feel like it's occasional.
CRG and Soulscape. Right. I saw your advert. It was really cool.
When? What advert?
I think you put an advert out. You didn't know? I've got it.
You know, someone's making identity theft.
The thing is, I'm not the one who does all that. Sometimes you have, the guys that side doing it for me.
Someone's clipped a whole bunch of, like, they've got a soundboard and just like,
yeah.
Well, so, listen to Swana FM.
No, I only do the vocal stuff. Recently just started doing the voiceovers for the station imaging stuff. It's so much work.
So... Before we close out for the day, because I'm noticing we've only got about 5 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes? Damn. Okay. Are you looking forward to another Afro-Urban stage, soundstage?
Yeah.
Yep. It's a definite?
Yes.
Is it going to be in the country?
Yeah. That's the only question in terms of my stuff going forward. But if I'm still here, and I probably will be, I think it's definitely on the cards.
And we need more team.
Yeah.
To take over things like social media.
Yeah.
just as I was saying last week, that it's not a one-day thing. It's not a one-week thing. It's a...
7 months.
Not even 7 months. It's 52 weeks from one...
Festival.
One festival to the next. So literally now we have 51 weeks left.
And it's almost like... And I think it's a sort of thing of also like... Yeah, like this is that work of like you said... getting in touch with people and being like, hey, like, we'd like to run this next year. Like, if you're a vendor, are you capable currently of doing something like this?
I want to come on before.